The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Who are these angels that children have in heaven? Well, that's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. If you want to get more information about our organization, you can go to faithalone.org. Now, as you might know, we've been taking questions from listeners just like you. If you're interested in getting your questions answered, you can send us a message through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, today's discussion is an interesting one. It has to do with children and angels. And so let's go to that discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show, and thank you especially to returning listeners who come back again and again and again to hear our sometimes sane, sometimes maybe questionable theories about different things. At least it's questionable to people in their own minds.
Right.
And, you know, that's the beauty of theology. It's the beauty of any subject. You're just struggling with thinking it through and checking it against the Word. That's the most important thing.
Exactly. Right? I just got a book from a friend of mine who's a pastor in Alabama, and he talks about free grace theology, and he says a lot of people base what they believe on what's called consensus theology.
Oh, yeah. Our friend Steve Lewis has an article about that,
right.
I think.
And it's basically the idea that we look at what most Protestant theologians and pastors say, and then that's our view because, well, obviously the Holy Spirit must be working through the majority of Protestants.
Right. Or the majority of Catholics, or the majority of Orthodox, or, oh, wait a second, there's the problem. Which majority are you talking about?
Right.
And do we see that anywhere in Scripture where the majority was always right?
No.
Throughout the Old Testament, you always knew the majority was always right.
Well, remember the 12 spies? 10 of the 12 were like, oh, no, we're going back to Egypt. Only Joshua and Caleb says, let's go up to the land. God's promised it. We'll take it.
Right.
So consensus theology messed up there.
Oh, they did. And how many prophets in the Old Testament basically stood alone? All the other prophets were giving a completely different message, and the one prophet would be like, you don't even want to hear from me because you don't want to hear what I have to say.
Well, if I remember right,
it was
Jeremiah they threw in the pit,
and
they were going to kill Jeremiah and stuff.
And that makes it difficult because, on the other hand, just because you have a unique view or a minority view, that doesn't automatically make you right either.
No, that's exactly a good point. By the same reasoning, the cults could go, hey,
we're the minority, so we must be right. We must be the remnant because there aren't a whole lot of us. No, that's not right either. The truth is, something is true whether a majority holds it or whether a minority holds it, and there's no telling whether a majority or a minority will believe the truth. You just have to seek for the truth. I wish there was an easy way to recognize what the truth is. You just count heads. That's what makes it true. No, truth is correspondence to reality. And if you're making a claim about God, then truth is correspondence to the Word of God. And you just have to look at that
right.
for yourself.
Right.
Well, in an episode that aired a little while ago, we talked about what happens to babies when they die. We discussed some of the different views about where do babies go when they die.
Right.
So maybe just to summarize, there are some people who say, I mean, I guess Calvinists might say, well, if it's an elect baby, it'll go to heaven. If it's not an elect baby, it'll go to hell or the lake of fire. And then other people say, well, it's an automatic in for all babies who die in infancy or in the womb. And then you offered a different perspective, and your perspective is, maybe you can summarize it.
It's kind of hard to explain, but my view is every baby that dies or every child before the age of accountability, which we can debate what that age is.
And we probably talked about it in that episode.
Right.
But yeah.
But every child or baby that dies, they are going to go to the third heaven. Every child under the age of accountability that dies will go to the third heaven. They will be somewhere in the presence of the Lord. Now, maybe they'll be put in some place just for all of the babies and children that died. And they will stay there until the millennium. Now, that's nothing new so far. But my view is they're not going to be born again.
Yeah, so being in the third heaven, that's just kind of like their waiting zone. That's just their
right.
layover. It's not a sign that they're born again.
Right.
It's more just, well, that's where they go until the millennium, and then something happens.
Right. And then I think most likely in the millennium, they will come back to life. They will be resurrected, and they will live out their natural life during that 1,000 years, probably living the whole 1,000 years, but certainly living much longer than people live today, because during the millennium, people are going to be living like the ages of people before the flood.
Yeah.
My view is if they come to faith during the millennium, they will be born again. And I think most of them will, because wouldn't that be a wonderful time?
Right.
When Jesus is ruling and reigning from Jerusalem, you can hear him on TV. You can even go see him, maybe, or he may come and speak in your town.
Yeah.
And you'll be around resurrected people. Imagine there's going to be two types of people, the resurrected and the glorified and non-glorified, because they'll be resurrected, but in my view, in natural bodies.
Right.
Now, the only other option is they could be people who are glorified and given everlasting life. And if that's the case, then they'll be in the kingdom, but they won't have any opportunity to rule or reign with Christ because, well, they never had an opportunity to serve Christ in their natural bodies.
Okay, interesting. Actually, that's a whole other topic I hadn't thought about before. If you believe that babies who die automatically get eternal life, automatically get to go to heaven forever, that might sound great, but I guess they would miss out on the opportunity to have rewards. I don't think I've ever seen it discussed.
It seems to me they're missing out on a lot if you say, okay, they go to the kingdom, but they never had a chance to have children. They never had a chance to serve Christ in the natural body. They never had a chance to lay up eternal rewards. It seems to me they've missed out on an awful lot, even if they get into the kingdom.
Yeah.
And then, of course, do they get into the kingdom as eternal babies? Do they get into the kingdom in the prime of life? What happens? And of course, people say, well, wait a minute. In Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed a man once to die,
right,
and then comes the judgment.
Like, that's usually used to deny post-mortem salvation.
Right. I'm not talking about people who are born again, who have lived their natural lives and attained the age of accountability and died. I'm talking about people who die in infancy or people who die before the age of accountability. And I'm saying Jesus did raise at least 7 people from the dead. Probably at least some of those 7 were unbelievers who had extended time to believe. And there were Old Testament examples of people who were raised from the dead and who died again.
So what you're saying is the appointed once to die is more proverbially true.
Right. That is true, but there are exceptions, I think, in the case of children or those who are mentally incapable of believing. And I don't know what that is. It'd be an extremely low IQ. In fact, it's possible. Some people even argue that people with very low IQs are most likely to all believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how all that works out, but it seems to me the Bible doesn't ever specifically tell us what happens to those who can't believe.
Right.
Like babies or small children or the mentally handicapped. We're just not told. But I think a reasonable inference is they come back, they live out their natural lives. But in any case, I'm going to say they all go to the third heaven when they die. None of them are going to Hades.
And you're doing that because maybe a sense of fairness.
Well, there is a principle in Scripture that God does not hold anyone accountable for that which they're incapable of doing. And that is justice. That is fairness.
Yeah.
If God were to hold somebody accountable for something they were incapable of doing, that would be unjust, and God is not unjust.
Yeah. Now, some people, you know, I talk to Calvinists and Lutherans about this all the time, and they have the opposite view. They think God is just in holding people who are unable to believe. Like, according to total depravity, people are born unable to believe. And yet God still, in their view, holds them accountable for not obeying and not believing. But I'm with you. I think if that's not unjust, I don't know what is.
Right.
I mean, if I told my kid, if I told Scout, she's 5 years old, and I said, okay, you have 5 minutes to learn, become fluent in Mandarin, and if not, I'm going to just beat you to death. No one would say, that's a just father right there. She had a great chance to learn Mandarin in 5 minutes, and that's a just penalty. No one would ever think that. And yet that's the picture that many people have of God.
I shouldn't be laughing, but the reason I'm laughing is that's such an absurd example.
Isn't it?
Right? I mean, it's ridiculous. it seems to me what you're talking about with the view that there are people born who are incapable of believing, never will believe, are not able to believe, and God has predestined them to the lake of fire. That's a ridiculous view.
It seems morally repugnant. You know, it does not seem in line with God's character as revealed in Scripture.
It's not.
But let's get to Joanne's question. Joanne wrote a...
Oh, somebody has a question.
There's a question. All this is leading up to a question. Now we only have about 2 minutes to answer it. But in Matthew 18, here's what Jesus says, 10 to 11. Take heed. Joanne asks, well, what about Matthew 18, 10 to 11? Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Now that's all that she asked. She just said, what about this verse? Does this verse show babies? What does it mean for a little one to have an angel in heaven?
I think what it means, the closest example to this would be in Hebrews 1, and I think it's verse 14, where it talks about angels are ministering spirits sent for those who are going to inherit salvation.
Yeah.
But that refers to those who are going to be Christ's partners in the life to come. So there is a verse that says every overcoming believer has angels that aid us in our service for Christ.
Yeah.
Now, what is this talking about? I think it tends to say that before someone reaches the age of accountability,
yeah,
God does assign angels to help children.
So maybe there's a guardian angel.
I don't know, but maybe.
Maybe the point is, well, just because you have an angel in heaven, that doesn't mean that that's where babies go automatically when they die. This verse isn't talking about that.
No.
This is about angelology, which will be a chapter in our Doctrine for Disciples book. That I'm definitely not going to write.
I think Ken's
writing. Ken has to write that.
Good luck, Ken.
Good luck, Ken. But thank you for listening. And we are inspired by your questions. So send them to us. Tell them where you're listening from, how you're listening to us. Tell us not only the questions that you have, but also we'd love to hear what kind of materials would you like us to be producing? How can we help you? How can we help serve the body of Christ? Let us know at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow in the program, we're going to talk about the difference between temporal and eternal salvation. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.